This is The Network Break, a podcast on the state of the business in networking. We discuss vendor moves and news, products and ploys, and analyze products and positioning, and look at the business of networking in about the time it takes to have a coffee break. I'm Drew Connery Murray, and with me as always is Greg Farrow. Greg, how you doing?
I'm tired. Really tired. Yeah. It just seems like I have this problem every year where in November, everybody's rushing to get everything done just before the business year finishes out.
Yes.
So now I'm getting really much better at saying no to lots of stuff. I'm going to have a Christmas holiday this year. I'm not going to go in with a whole bunch of things to do.
That's good.
I've got a bunch of projects I want to do. I want to spend some time learning some new technology and stuff. And I need to make sure I give myself some time. So I'm tired now because I'm rushing to complete everything this month. I've got a couple of speaking gigs coming up and a couple of advisories where I work with big companies on certain things. And then I'm going to put all my tools down and just back away from the computer.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. And you?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Gearing up for the holiday rush. You're in the UK, so you don't have Thanksgiving, but that's rapidly approaching here. That's 2 days off and the kickoff of the American orgy of consumerism, a.k.a. Christmas.
I've always thought that Thanksgiving was about putting turkeys in barrels of deep fried oil or something.
Yes, that's how we start. Yes, got a carbo load for the onslaught of shopping that will soon follow.
For the orgy of shopping.
Yes.
I'm not sure I want to be involved in that. I've been working with my family to start making purchasing decisions now so we can order it from Amazon and get it shipped directly from China and cut out the middleman. or whatever, eBay, some of it. We'll see.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Interesting.
But there you go. What's been happening this week?
Well, we've got a lot of Cisco news to talk about. Again, this is more of an American rather than UK story, but net neutrality, something we've talked about quite a bit this week. President Obama put forth the idea of reclassifying broadband companies under Title II, which would allow the government to regulate them as a public utility like the telephone companies. With the goal of enforcing net neutrality. And, of course, there was a hue and cry across the land.
Yes. And as somebody said, I saw one of the American senators reverberate it all over Twitter when he said imposing net neutrality is like what Obama did to health. Obamacare did to health.
Yes. Yes, that was Ted Cruz.
Yes, which was, you know, ostensibly idiocy in the extreme. I mean, what is this guy on? In all honesty, I mean, net neutrality is about open, free commerce. And what the carriers, what the big companies want to do is create a monopoly so that they can prevent free and open, you know, business that is free of government, free of influence. They want to make it the other way around.
Yes. it's not certainly beyond the pale of a politician to speak out of both sides of his mouth or her mouth. So we can assume we know where – well, for one, the Republicans tend to be against anything that Obama is for sort of reflexively. And for another, there was a little interesting graphic in the New York Times, and we'll put a link to it in the show notes, about the political contributions. The cable companies essentially are spending twice as much on political contributions as companies like Microsoft or Google. So you can see who's driving this bus.
Yeah, money talks, but so do votes. And if companies like Google and Facebook and so forth come out on the other side of this debate, they don't actually need to spend money. They can actually sway political opinions in their own right.
Conceivably, yes. Yes.
As has happened before, by the way.
It has happened before, yes.
Yeah, and nobody believes, you know, when Comcast or, you know, one of these dirty corporations stands up and says, but we're not making enough profits. It's funny how people don't believe them.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure that they'll win. If you know, like on that basis, if you think, you know, and people who vote, you know, Comcast is a person in America, a company is a corporation is a person.
Yes.
But only gets one vote, effectively.
Effectively, yes. Although we also here in the States just had a midterm election, and starting in January, the Republicans will control both the House and the Senate. So I don't know fully how independent the FCC is if they make this designation of classifying broadband companies as public utilities, if Congress could try to change that. I don't know. Well, it's very interesting times. We don't even know how the FCC is going to come out on this, but interesting that Obama spoke up on it, and very interesting to see where folks are falling out, which leads us to one of our first Cisco stories, a report from Network World saying that Cisco is joining the chorus against net neutrality.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's good. But of course, the reason that they're blaming it is that he said that AT&T had stopped spending money. So please stop that. Which is,
yeah.
Which is pretty interesting now, particularly when Cisco's earnings yesterday, we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute maybe, but the service provider market for Cisco globally was down 10% last quarter. 10% right. of revenue is lost. Right. They were able to make up the revenue in other segments, but overall the total sales of the company shrank by 4%. Profits were down by just 1% or something. So overall, generally nothing's really changed for Cisco. But if net neutrality is net neutrality truly responsible for AT&T and Verizon and Sprint stopping buying product? Because we've seen various articles in the last week or so saying that AT&T is managing its cash. It bought some $2 billion purchase in Mexico and then reduced its capital budget by $2 billion. So that's $2 billion of networking equipment that just disappeared.
Uh-huh.
And that's a $20 billion market
right.
Overall. So all of a sudden, 10% of somebody's money just disappeared. Juniper shares fell 5% on the news. And so it goes right across the board. CN, all the public share companies who supply them are all getting shrinking, mm-hmm. had share drop on the back of that.
Right.
So I think it's specious to blame net neutrality. I think the big carriers are saying we can see NFE, and particularly they continue to push the white box. Did you see the ONOS announcement this week? Did we talk about that?
I don't know if we did.
So there's a new so you remember that OpenFlow is been championed by the Open Networking Foundation.
Yes.
And the Open Networking Foundation ultimately sort of was a little bit too focused on some things. It wasn't able, its charter didn't allow it to sort of embrace open source projects, and so Open Daylight sort of emerged.
Mm-hmm.
And Open Daylight has very much been targeted at the enterprise. So the involvement in that project has been with HP and Cisco, particularly very strong. They've got a lot of resources committed to the project, and they often dominate a lot of the proceedings in the subgroups, mm-hmm. and the strategy where it goes. And now Brocade's got a very strong participation. So it's very enterprise-focused. And this week we saw the ONOS, Open Network Operating System, with the title Software-Defined Transformation of Software Service Provider Networks. And basically it's a new controller which is going to be used for service providers.
Mm-hmm.
So just in case you thought SDN was complicated and there's too many technologies, we've got another one.
You'll be happy to know.
Yes, very happy to know. Now, the interesting part about this, of course, about the ONOS, is it seems to be strongly led by AT&T. There's a lot of AT&T representatives saying, we really, really want an open way of doing business. This is going to be our attempt to try and take control of the future of our own technology. AT&T, like any company, is a big company, and there may be a group of people running this, and there are other people who have different views, of course. But AT&T seems to be pushing its corporate heft behind this in mm-hmm. partnership with Ciena, Ericsson, Fujitsu, Huawei, Intel, NEC, and so forth. And these people are really saying, so it seems to be sort of led by AT&T to some extent, maybe Ericsson as customers and vendors. Mm-hmm. And really trying to say the service providers want something different. And thanks, Cisco and Alcatel and Ericsson, but we're going to take it from here. Off mm-hmm. you go. Now you need to fit in with this model. Don't keep trying to sell us your, you know, Cisco has got these Carrigan purchases and its purchase of TLF systems and then combining it with some other stuff. And that's their controller platform. And I think AT&T is trying to say, not so fast. I'm not so sure we want this.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be interesting because service provider – in Cisco's numbers, it does about $4 billion a quarter in the enterprise space and about $4 billion a quarter in the carrier space. If the carriers turn against it, if any momentum goes against it, it could hurt them in the long run.
Yes, sure could.
A slow burner.
Yep. Mm. More pressure. They're getting it at both ends, Cisco is.
Well, yeah. So AT&T has been doing this for some time. I was at a session where one of the senior AT&T execs what, a year ago or at the Open Networking Foundation conference in Silicon Valley, and he stood up and said, we still don't want the proprietary technology, we want open technology. So they've been pushing this message for a couple of years now. It's not just a lone voice or a radical voice. It seems to be a sustained campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting times.
Very interesting times.
Speaking of Cisco and money, it announced its Q1 results.
Q1 2015.
Yeah. Of course, it's November 2014, so you worked that one out. That's called Cisco marketing math there.
Oh, that's just public corporation math.
Yeah, that's quite confusing to me. Sales of $12.25 billion, minus 1% quarter on quarter, plus 1% year on year. Beat the street expectations by a penny, and also slightly better than the street predicted. The street had predicted they'd get a little bit smaller. Service provider revenue was down 5% year on year to $2.81 billion. But they're predicting sort of flat next year. Going forward, it's going to flat or maybe grow a little. So the different things that I've seen in the analyst notes sort of say nothing's changed. Share price will stay where it is. Profit margins will stay where it is. Nothing's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So not bad news, not good news.
Right. All right. A little bit more carrier news. This coming from Nuage Networks. Nuage is sort of an internal venture project from Alcatel-Lucent in the SDN space.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got some news around bringing SDN to the WAN.
Branch networking. Yep. So basically, they're taking their SDN platform, the VSP, virtual service platform, and taking it. They've already taken it out to the service provider space, where they're using it to provide NFV functionality. So you'll see them talking a lot about virtualized network services and so forth. But they're now taking it into enterprise branch networking. So if you think about taking a software agent, fundamentally a virtual router of a sort, and you take it and you put it as a VM or as a bootable operating system on an x86, and then you manage it all from an SDN controller, you've got Nuage Networks. It's now in the SDN WAN space.
Mm-hmm.
Virtual appliances at the edge, all the power of SDN. I mean, their platform was already using, I mean, it's the thing that Nuage has got is that the software engine that runs underneath is actually brought out of their old DSL carrier orchestration system. So in a sense, all they've got to do is configure the functions on top of a very strong package. So it's very competitive. It's compelling in its own way. So it'd be interesting to see how many people take this up.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want to replace your, like, last time I was working with a company, they had a 3,000 node WAN network, and it was consuming £30 million a year. And by the time you took the routers, the router maintenance contracts, the on-site maintenance contracts that the people were sending out to those branches, and then all the WAN bandwidth and the international WAN bandwidth, $30 million a year. Now, the routers were $6 to $8 million out of the whole thing, and then the rest of it was bandwidth. And I would think that you could, if you could look at ways to replace your Cisco routers or your, you know, nearly everybody's using Cisco routers for this, so let's do with that, then you could potentially cut $6 million down to half or maybe less by just getting rid of all the expensive custom hardware and replacing it with white box and some software licenses on top, some x86, Ethernet in, Ethernet out, how hard can it be?
So is this essentially, is it an equipment play, or are there also other benefits that you get with the SDN component that could potentially help on the bandwidth side as well?
So dynamic pathing. So you don't have to keep building these hub-spoke networks. So today in a network you have MPLS. Your MPLS backbone is provided by your provider. And if you have multiple providers, you've got to try and find a way to stitch those multiple network backbones. And if you're a national or an international company, you might have 5 or 6 or 7 providers. And you're trying to weld those into one network. Or the other attack that most people do is they go out and get just one supplier so you can have just one network.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're locked into that provider. You can't negotiate for the best price. You can't negotiate for better support. You can't get so for example, working for a big oil and gas company and you might want to have connectivity in Australia, and that your supplier's only got to deal with Telstra, who's the most expensive partner. So you might want to go and choose the second largest provider in Australia, but you can't because you've got a contract with only one company and they can only connect their networks together.
Mm-hmm.
So SDN-WAN allows you to take these WAN networks and start to build your own network out of them by using overlay networking in the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you could go to a network with 3, 4, 5 providers and have tunnels over the top. And then if one of them fails, it just switches paths. They dynamically fix the path for you. Without OSPF, we don't need OSPF because SDN does all this for you.
Uh-huh.
Smart agents at the edge, centralized control, lots of visibility, lots of, you know, dynamic configuration, monitoring, all that sort of stuff. So exciting. Of course, I talked about this at Interoper New York, and I'll be talking about this in Las Vegas. So if you're interested about the SDN WAN, make sure you come along to my session and I'll talk more. I've arranged to do a deep dive with Nuage around the Christmas break, where I'll be working much more in detail about what it is and where it's going.
Okay. There's also a lot of startups in this SDN, or maybe one or two startups looking at this SDN WAN play as well.
There is 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Quite a few. Silver Peak, remember Silver Peak, the WAN acceleration company?
I do.
So they've taken, and our way they always worked was they did protocol optimization by shoving everything into a tunnel and then optimizing the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
So instant SDN WAN technology, boom.
Yeah, there you go.
We've got Viptela, who've just come out of stealth. We've got a whole bunch of others. There's Cladgenix. NetSocket was doing this to some extent. We saw some news this week that NetSocket might have run out of runway. They might have come a bit too early.
Yeah.
So, too, bit too modern for carriers, I suspect. maybe somebody will buy them and they'll live on. I mean, they did have a good – they had a shot, but I think they went – they need a long runway to penetrate that market, or better marketing, better contacts in the industry.
Okay. Well, good. Some activity there and definitely something to keep an eye on.
Big money to be saved. If there's one thing about the corporate WAN that I know is there's a lot of money. You know, saving 20% out of a $30 million budget, that's real money.
That is real money.
Yeah, that's not saving $1,000 on a purchase of a switch. That's, yeah.
Yeah, that will make you look good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, this week, the reInvent conference, Amazon's annual gathering.
Yeah.
And lots of cloud stuff going on.
Well, okay. So congratulations to AWS. Lots of cool features that they brought to their product. But the thing I wanted to get a bit ranty and upset about was the Clouderati are all on Twitter this week just absolutely licking themselves with joy and barking at every – they're like little puppy dogs going, excitement. Oh, look, cloud, more cloud. My God, we have a reason for existing. And it's like, you know, instead of slobbering and licking yourself and barking at every single thing that they say, why don't you apply a little bit of critical faculty to this and actually start to say, you know, what does this really mean and have some intelligence? And we're getting really tired. I don't know about you, but the Clouderati are always like, only cloud will survive. And I'm like, don't think so.
Yeah. Well, I mean people get passionate, people get partisan, and they tend to look at the world through, you know, a single prism. And so, and frankly, I understand. I know what you mean. Sycophancy is never a good thing. Twitter is also an imperfect medium for nuance and commentary sometimes. So,
well, it can be, but I mean, some of this stuff from the Gartner analysts are absolutely the worst at this for some reason. I'm going to call them out particularly. I mean, they are annoying at most of the time, but they are really, really into some outrageous, making some outrageous comments on Twitter that sort of sit there and go, are you really independent? Do you really want to say this and be seen as, and then claim you're an independent cloud expert? Because, you know, Amazon's got a 5-year head start, so good for them. But they're not going to be the only competitor in the long run. They may even be Microsoft and dominate, you know, or a Cisco and dominate 70% of the market. But, you know, yeah.
But they won't be the only one. And as we're seeing with Cisco, that doesn't always last forever either.
No, exactly right. So it'll be interesting to see. I just wanted to have a bit ranty about that. I mean, by all means, you know, say this is your favorite product, but, you know, a little bit of critical faculty would be pretty good.
Maybe it helped, you know, you're there, there's a lot of buzz, there's you're surrounded by people, there's a lot of happy talk, everything is sweetness and light, and that can get a little infectious and when they're to their desks.
But yeah, I guess I'm being a bit, but, you know, even if I'm still sitting here.
Shut up already.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm happy for them to be excited, or, you know, to go to a conference and everybody's giving out free MacBook Airs to everybody or something and get excited about that. What? No, you know what I'm saying? And whatever it is, that's great. But, you know, it's just endless over and over every session. Oh, my God, Amazon's just invented the newest, greatest thing ever. It's like, come on. Come on, come on, surely. Yeah. Only I'm that good.
You never have a soapbox.
No. Well, yeah, that's what this is.
Instead of a tweet, we get it long form.
Yeah, anyway, enough of that. I'm sorry. I should stop it. Right.
No, I far be it from me to step on anyone's enjoyment of analyst bashing. It's a beloved sport.
Well, I'm doing more and more analyst work, and I'm trying to learn how it's done, right? So I'm trying to learn how to be an analyst.
Oh, please don't.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, there are some analysts who are good, but my frustration is that a lot of the analysts, particularly in interviews or news stories when something new comes out, is they've mastered the art of not saying anything, and that's very frustrating.
Oh, yes. I've often had vendors say, you actually have an opinion and a perspective.
Yes.
I say, what do they? Do most people never talk to you? And they go, no, they never say anything. And you're like, why wouldn't you ask questions? Or anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's hope you don't fall into that trap.
Well, I'll be wrong.
I doubt that you will. There's something about you that I think.
Well, you know, as I get older, I get more equivocal. How's that?
Okay.
But I think I like being independent. Right? I like being able to be a little silly and to be a little, you know, get a little off the rails and be a little, you know, against the flow sometimes when I think that there's a justifiable point.
Yes.
And I just don't think that you can be – I mean, AWS is doing an awesome job of executing on their strategy, you know, producing new products and things like that. But it's not going to be the only technology. If there's one thing I know after 30 years of IT, there will never be just one of anything.
Yes.
You can dominate the market for 10 years, 20 years, but in the end, you will not be the only thing in your segment.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
That's very true.
Google's coming up. Azure's coming up to do things. There's plenty of smaller companies. I was looking in the UK the other day for companies who are doing vCloud stuff or vRealize Air or whatever it's called this week, whatever VMware's public cloud offering, pseudo public cloud offering is. And did you know there's like 200 of them in the UK alone?
Really?
Oh, yeah, really. You go to their website and you say, show me a vCloud provider somewhere in my district. And there's just these little dots on these flags. And I'm going like, there's no way that there's... It's like Cisco's Intercloud, you know, they've got 200 companies signed up to Intercloud, and you're going like 200 companies pretending that they're one thing.
Yes.
I'm not so sure that doesn't, you know, you say it like that and you go like, that just doesn't sound right, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't sound like, that doesn't seem like, you know, that sounds like a hippie convention and everybody's playing their drums.
It doesn't sound sustainable, at least at that level, let's say.
Not for IT either. I mean, IT hasn't historically worked well with cooperation.
Yeah. <like that>. No doubt.
Well, I could be being a bit harsh, but anyway.
All right. Well, I think that's what we've got for this week. And where can folks find you if they haven't gotten enough of you already?
Well, I'm still trying to churn out some blogs at etherealmind.com. I'm slowing down a little bit because I'm drowning in deliverables for various writing projects, so I'm slower than I might otherwise be. But I'm also largely abandoned on Twitter, but you can follow me there on @etherealmind because I'm getting very little engagement on Twitter these days, and it's basically got to the point where it's not worth doing. So you should learn how to use an RSS reader and follow my blog.
Okay. I'm still on Twitter. Happy to be there. I am @interop_Andrew. You can also find me on informationweek.com/interop. And we will be talking to you next week.